Now, I want to turn with you this morning in our message to the first epistle of Peter. The first epistle of Peter in chapter 2, and we read at verse number 11 through to the end. 1 Peter chapter 2 and from verse 11. And Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King or Supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Subjects, servants, be subjects to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy word for Christ's sake. Most of these verses that we have read in this passage are exhortations to strangers and pilgrims. That's what it says there in verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." And you know, that's exactly what the people of God are. If you belong to the Lord, if you know Christ as your Savior, then we come into that category, strangers and pilgrims. Someone comes along here this morning, they've never been here before. You don't know them, nobody knows them, but they're just dropping in, they're a stranger. When you're going home, you'll probably say to your wife or your friend, you know, "I saw a strange man in there the day," or "a strange family, and we don't know them." A stranger. And then a pilgrim is someone who's on a journey. And that's what the people of God are, or should be. We should be strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're only here for a little while. And so we're heading to our heavenly land, and that's who Peter was writing to these Jews who had got gloriously saved and come to faith in Jesus Christ and were suffering because of it. And he refers to them as strangers and pilgrims. And he says, "I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So you see, it's full of exhortations. He's exhorting these believers about certain things. He's exhorting them, first of all, to shun, to keep away that which would do them by no means any good, to keep away from those things that would hinder them in their Christian life, to keep away from those things that would be a barrier to them. And he says that they go against the soul. The things that Peter's talking about, they wouldn't do their spiritual life any good or make it any better than it was. So there's an exhortation to shun, to keep away from that which was bad or of no good as far as their spiritual welfare was concerned. And then in verse 12, there's an exhortation to shine. An exhortation to shine. Having your conversation among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. The life that we live should be a testimony to those that know not Christ. We should live a life that glorifies God, and that's what Peter's exhorting these believers about. He says, keep away from that which will do you harm in your spiritual walk, in your fellowship with God, but do those things that will glorify God. And surely that's what we should all be seeking to do. That's what Christianity is all about. An exhortation to shun, to keep away from, an exhortation to shine. And then we find there's an exhortation to submission from verse 13 through to 15. He says, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves, he says, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whatever the traffic regulations are, no matter what the law of the land is, as long as it's not contravening the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of Scripture, we are to submit ourselves. It mightn't suit us. But this is what Peter is saying. Submit yourselves. First of all, there needs to be submission to the Lord in our lives. There needs to be submission to the law and the lawmakers, so long as it's not hindering your Christianity and your walk with God. And of course, this is an exhortation to submission. There's an exhortation to saintliness in verse 16 and 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. There's an exhortation to servants in verse 18. It says, servants or slaves, be subject to your masters. You know, in Peter's day, many of these people who had come to faith in Christ were slaves. We hear a great deal today about slaves in America and in Africa and all the rest of it. And in this day when Peter was writing this epistle, many had come to Christ who were slaves. And he's saying to these people, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So Peter's laying down the guidelines for these believers who were suffering. And then he says from verse 19 to 21, this is an exhortation to suffering. He says in verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, none of us like to suffer wrongfully. Nobody likes to be blamed in the wrong. But yet Peter's saying to them, he's saying to them here, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And so we see here this exhortation to suffer and teaching them this truth about suffering. And that's what the first epistle of Peter is all about. It's about Christian suffering. But in teaching them this, he says this to them. He says, for verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, Let's remember that, friends. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, in teaching this truth, he's saying to them, Christ hath left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And in this message this morning, I want to think with you about Christ, our example. Christ, our example. Christ is our Savior for those of us this morning who know him as our Savior. Christ is our shepherd this morning. My, he's the shepherd who watches over us. Christ was our substitute when he died at Calvary. But remember this, Christ is our example. People in every generation have their heroes, people that they look to, people that they try to model their own life upon. Maybe a sports star, or an actress or actor. Maybe a politician or someone who has done good for the community. Someone who has stood out and people try to model themselves on these people. We believers this morning, whose example should we follow? I can look back to my early days as a Christian, and in the church that I went to, there was a few men and they stood out. Godly men, holy men. Men who when they prayed, they brought you right into the very sense of God in heaven. But who should we follow? Whose life should we seek to live by? The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and lived in it for 33 years. He lived a life that was perfect, a life that was good, a life that was well pleasing to God the Father. And in spite of the life that he lived, he experienced all the problems and the storms and the difficulties that we experience. But he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He is our example. My friends, he's our example, but he's not just our example to admire. He's not just our example to talk about in a conversational Bible class. He's not just our example, you know, to sing about. He's our example, and we need to follow his steps. That's what Peter says. Seek to live as he lived. Seek to be as he will. Now, we never reach the standard that the Lord Jesus Christ reached, because he was the perfect and holy Son of God. And none of us here this morning is sinlessly perfect. Maybe there's someone here who disagrees with me, but I'm saying that that's what I believe, and that's my opinion, and I believe that the truth of God shows us that Christ was the sinless Son of God. But we are to seek to follow his example. We are to attain after his example. Christ is our example. We never reach his standard. But looking at this in the context in which we find it, the first thing I want to say this morning is that Christ is our example in suffering. Christ is our example in suffering. Peter was writing to these believers who were suffering for their faith, and he brings Christ before them as their he brings Christ before them in his suffering. In verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled or insulted, he didn't return an insult to the person who insulted him. No, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." The Lord Jesus suffered slander. He suffered shame. He suffered scoffs. But he suffered silently. What an example. When he was reviled, when he was insulted, if somebody insults you or me, the first reaction would be to retaliate. That's just in our DNA. But that's not how it should be, Peter says to these new believers. My dear friends, you know, what an example. In the first epistle here of Peter, it's all about Christians suffering for their faith. And remember that there's many people at this very moment, Christians throughout the world, and they're suffering for their faith. They're suffering because they're followers of Jesus Christ. And they've had to suffer many things. In this first epistle, he talks about suffering wrongfully, 1 Peter 2 and 9. About suffering for righteousness' sake. People suffering for doing that which is right, 1 Peter 3:14. Suffering as a Christian, 1 Peter 4:16. Suffering according to the will of God, 1 Peter 4:19. Christ has left as an example how to suffer. It's hard to do. It's a high standard to try to keep. But the only way we can do it or seek to do it is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's only by the life of the Spirit living in us from day to day that we'll be able to suffer for Jesus Christ. And remember, dear brethren this morning and sisters, all those that love godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live for the Lord, and I'm sure that you are, then you'll have to expect to suffer for Him. And what a wonderful thing. The apostles, it says, they counted themselves worthy. They rejoiced in that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Christ is our example in suffering. Christ is our example in obedience. In obedience. When we consider the Savior's life as recorded in the Gospels and what the apostles wrote about Him, one of the things that stands out is obedience. Obedience. Obedience is something that's lacking in many areas of life today. We live in a rebellious age, and it's lacking obedience to the law of the land, obedience in the home, the workplace, the church, and most importantly, obedience to the teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God. We live in a day when people make their own rules and set their own standards. But Christ is our example in obedience. That's the thing. Are we following Him? Are you following Him this morning? Well, then He's our example in obedience. Remember Philippians 2 and 9, He became obedient unto death. Hebrews 5 and 8, it says He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. In Hebrews 10, 7, He came to do the Father's will. Jesus Christ lived a life of obedience to the Father. And there were times when the heavens would open and a voice would be heard to say, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Brethren and sisters, this morning we are the sons and daughters of the living God. I wonder, can God look down on my life, on your life, on somebody else's life, and is our life well pleasing to God? Because we're living in obedience to His Word, then we're living a life that is pleasing to God. He was obedient to the Word of God, because the will of God and the Word of God both run in harmony. like a railway track. Both lines run in harmony, the will of God and the word of God. Is there obedience in our life to the will of God and to the word of God? Christ is our example. The word of God teaches us many things. When I became a Christian many years ago when I was 18 years of age, I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible or what the Bible taught. And when I started to read the Bible as a Christian who knew nothing, I began to discover many things. First, I discovered that the Lord wanted me to be separate from the world. My, the doctrine of separation was taught in those days. My, the Bible taught me about prayer. I needed to have a prayer life. It taught me about holiness of life. That's not going about with a long face every day. That's about seeking to live your life in accordance to what the Word of God teaches you. Ma taught me about baptism, about breaking of bread, about honoring the Lord, and through obedience we receive blessing and power and favor with God. When we live a life of obedience, my God pours his blessing into our lives. May we read that, "Him that honor me," says the Lord, "I will honor." God will honor us. God wants our obedience this morning. To obey is better than sacrifice. We ought to obey God, says Peter, rather than man. Jesus Christ is our example. Example in suffering. Example in obedience. Christ is our example in love. In love. One of the things that should be evident in our lives when we become believers is love. Christ, by his Spirit, comes to dwell within us. He comes to live within us. That's regeneration. And you know, when the Spirit of God comes to dwell in your heart and to live within your heart, the Spirit begins to show forth the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the very first attribute, the very first feature. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are the things that should be seen in our lives because the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within us. My dear friends, when we look at the Lord Jesus, he loved the Father. And he loved his own. It says he loved those that were in the world. He loved sinners. He loved his enemies. And you know, the thing that amazes me most is this, that he loved me. He loved me. I can't understand that, because nobody knows me like me. My wife's sitting there and she knows me, but she doesn't know me as much as I know myself. But the Son of God loved me in spite of me. In spite of what I was, in spite of who I was, in spite of all my faults, in spite of all my failures, in spite of all my sins, he loved me. And listen, he gave himself for me. That's love. That's love. Yeah. My dear friends, he gave himself for me. He taught his disciples to love their enemies. And my, that tests us, doesn't it? Yes, when Peter cut the ear of the servant of the high priest, remember how that the Lord rebuked him and healed the man. The Lord Jesus was a man of peace, not a man of violence. He taught his disciples to love one another. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I loved you, that ye loved one another. Now that's a high standard. We are to love one another. We might not agree with one another, but we're still to love one another as he loved us. Because his love was a sacrificial love. If Christians are to follow the example the Master left, then there would be love and harmony amongst the people of God. My dear friends, we may agree or disagree, but we can still have respect and love the one for the other. Christ is our example in suffering. Christ is our example in obedience. Christ is our example in love. Christ is our example in prayer. One of the most important of the graces is prayer. When I came to Christ and trusted him as my Savior, there was something in here. You know the way when something happens to you and there's something inside you that tells you that you should be doing something or you shouldn't be doing something or you should be concerned about this person or that person or there's something inside you that's leading you to go somewhere. Well, you know, friends, there was something inside me that told me that I should be going to the prayer meeting. My conscience, with a conscience. Yes, the desire to prayer or for prayer is a sign of new life within. That's why I had this thing in my conscience, because I had new life now within me. And when you look at the life of the Savior, you find that it was filled with prayer. And arising a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That's how he began his day, before the sun was up. There were times when he spent all night in prayer. He would leave his disciples and go to pray to the Father. The disciples were those who were closest to them, and they knew him as a man of prayer. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, remember they said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples. He ended his life in prayer. As he was nailed to the cross, he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has left us an example, friends. Not just for me to talk about or preach about, but he has left us an example to work out practical Christianity in our life and to be a witness of Jesus Christ in the days in which we live. I wonder, are we growing in faith and have that intimate fellowship with God through the ministry of prayer? Christ is our example. That's what Peter says. He has left us an example in suffering, an example in obedience, an example in prayer. And finally this morning, Christ is our example in humility. Humility. Something that's badly missing in society at large. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to be heard and listened to. Everybody wants to push their way forward. Paul wrote to the Philippians where there was a problem. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, the Trinity. Yes, but made himself of no reputation, the Son of God, made himself of no reputation and took himself on himself the form of a slave. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Someone said that the Son of God could come into this world as the greatest surgeon that ever was, or the greatest scientist there ever was, or the greatest sovereign there ever was. But he was born in a stable. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And one of the things that stands out about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is humility. And Paul says, let that same mind be in you. So many different areas of life, the home, the workplace, the church. My dear friends, there can be a bad attitude. You know, there can be just a word too many. And unfortunately, it leads to strife and bitterness. His mind was a humble mind. Yea, a humble mind. As believers this morning, as God's people today, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we bear his name. What a privilege. And we should seek to follow his example. The life of Christ is the perfect example for us to follow in all manner of things. May God's grace help us, and may God's Spirit strengthen us and enable us to help us to follow in his steps and to follow in his example. And if you and I went out there this morning, right throughout this week, and sought to follow his example, I believe this world and this country of ours would be a better place than it is today. May the Lord speak to us this morning, and may he humble us, and may he give to us an open ear and help us to seek to put into practice that which is Christianity.